Good morning. Welcome to Catalyst. Glad you're here this morning. Thanks, Trish. And I also want to plug the Kingdom classes. So in 2 weeks, we're starting the Kingdom classes. And, you know, I want to tell you that these classes, they're not just theory. They're not just like this abstract theory or teaching. All of these classes, you notice, they're all called boot camps because they're designed with practical changes, practical positive changes that you can make in your life. And I personally experienced the material, what we're going to be going over. Damon's going to be teaching one. It's on identity. If you are fairly new, even if you've come within the 5-6 years, started coming to Catalyst, you need to take the class. Because so much of what we're about is about who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ, how God sees us through Christ. Huge, huge, life-changing truths. So take Damon's class. I'm teaching 2 classes, one before service, one after. One is learning to hear God's voice. That's vital for your intimacy with God. Some of you are going to think, why do some people, they feel like they know God so well, they connect with God, they hear God's voice. It's a skill that you have to develop, just like anything. So I encourage you to take that class, and then after, we're having our Mini Habits Boot Camp to help you. I know this is true for you. There's been things, you've made New Year's resolutions that lasted for 2 weeks. There's been things that you say, I should do that. This approach helps you to actually make practical changes and develop good habits, some certain good habits. It could have spiritual habits, it could be health habits, it could be food habits, it could be different habits. I've experienced this the last 3-4 years. I've implemented it in my life, and it's made a big difference in my life. So sign up right after church, or you could go to the church app. You could go to our website to sign up for the classes. So sign up today. All right, so that's in 2 weeks. Next week, what's happening? Easter. Next week's Easter. And so today, I wanted to kind of focus in on the good news and the power of the Easter message, of the gospel. Because some of your family, some of your relatives, some of your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your classmates desperately, desperately need to hear the gospel message. It is a matter of life and death, not just physical, but eternal. And so today we're going to just focus and prep us, and I'm going to just try to encourage you to once again realize the importance of the gospel and have the courage, the boldness, the faith to step out and invite your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. All right, so we're going to focus on that today. But first, let me start with a question. And the question, which of these would you choose, okay? Which of these would you choose? If I were to say, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news, which would you want to hear first? All right, think about it. Share with your neighbor. Share with your neighbor. If you would want to hear good news first or bad news first, take a minute, share with your neighbor. Pastor Robert would say, there are 2 kinds of people in this world, right? All right. So, generally, especially if it's something very important, and you know some good news and some bad news, let's say a doctor has some good news or bad news, something very important, generally it's critical that you share both the good news and the bad news. They're both vital. And often, if you omit or try to minimize the bad news, it will greatly diminish the person's response and reaction to the good news. If we try to eliminate or minimize bad news, it'll mute a person's reaction to the good news. Let me give you an example. Let's say I said, The Lakers won yesterday. I know for most of you, that's good news, right? Of course, I'm on a no watching sports fast right now, so I didn't watch it. But hypothetically, let's say I said the Lakers won yesterday, right? I know for Damon, that's bad news. He's a Clipper fan. But the Lakers won yesterday. You might say, oh, that's cool, right? That's cool. That's good news for most people. But what if I said it this way? Did you see the Laker game yesterday? They played terrible. They were losing by 25 points going into the fourth quarter. They were out of sync. It looked ugly. Bad news. But you know what? They came back and they won, and they had the greatest fourth quarter comeback in Laker history. Good news. Because the good news was preceded by this bad news, right? How you react and receive the good news, very different. Because the bad news, you're like, you're in a pit. But then you hear the good news and you're elevated way up. You know, the gospel, the Bible, the message of Easter, it contains God's good news. But there's also some bad news. There's some bad news related to the gospel. You know the word gospel? You know what it literally means? What does it literally mean? Good news. It means good news. And the news is great. The news is amazing. The news is destiny, eternity altering news about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. But for the good news, I believe for the good news to have the impact, the response that God desires from every single person, it's got to have, and we've got to hear also, the bad news. The bad news as well. You know, we've just finished, and with some of you, some of us groups are still going through it. Some of you personally going through this Awe of God series, right? This Awe of God series. And you know, in the Awe of God series, we learned that there's many verses in the Bible that talk about the fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord. In fact, it says in the Bible that the fear of the Lord, one of the key points, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Look at this verse here, Proverbs 9:10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So according to this verse and many other verses that say that, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the starting point of knowing God, the starting point of knowing God, the starting point to have a relationship with God, the starting point to see God and understand God for who He is, the starting point of all that starts with, according to the Bible, according to these verses, it starts with not the love of God, it starts with the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And when you look at the fear of the Lord and who He is in His holiness, it actually leads us to some very, very bad news initially. You know, in the book of Romans, I love the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, Paul exquisitely lays out the gospel. In fact, some of you, how many of you have heard of the Roman Road? Right? The Roman Road? Not very many. So with probably 5 or 6 key verses, short verses, key verses from the book of Romans, it clearly lays out the whole gospel message. It's amazing. Well, today we're going to go through this Roman Road. We're going to look at the book of Romans. I'm going to give you a little director's cut version. It's not that simple. It's going to be a little more expanded. But we're going to go through the gospel message as laid out by Paul. The reason why we're going over this, is to, again, refresh us and remind us how important and vital and powerful and significant the gospel message is. All right, so let's look. We're going to look at the book of Romans. And we're going to start Romans 1:16, all right? This is kind of after some initial introductory comments by Paul, some greetings. This is a key verse, Romans 1:16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." I'm not ashamed of the good news. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So Paul says, he addresses the gospel, the good news of the message of God through Jesus Christ. He's addressing the good news, and he says, it is, the gospel is the power to save people. It is in the gospel message. It's in what God did through Jesus Christ. That's the power. That's the power to transform lives. That's the power to take one from darkness into light. That's the power to give one someone who is dead and make them alive. It's the power of the gospel. And it's for who? Everyone. Everyone. Big, tall, old, young, right? Smart, not as smart, right? It's for everyone. The gospel. Everyone who believes can experience this. And then Paul goes on. After he shares this, you might be thinking, well, why does someone need salvation? And this is right away, chapter 2, Paul gives the bad news. He goes right into the bad news. He doesn't talk about the love of God. He doesn't talk about the grace of God, the compassion of God. He goes into bad news. Okay, let's look. Romans 1:18. "For the wrath of God," the wrath of God, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath, the anger, the fury of God is a real thing. It's a real thing. You know, lately, I read through the Bible, start from Genesis, read through the Bible, start again in Genesis, read through the Bible. And my Bible reading, I've been in the books of Isaiah, the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah. And in those books, the prophets in certain sections, in large sections, they're actually just relaying the word of the Lord. So the word of the Lord, that's what a prophet is. It's they relay God's message. So God speaks to them, and then they just dictate it. They just relay it. Man, in the books of Isaiah, the prophets, Jeremiah, God pronounces judgment on the nations and on Israel. It's harsh. It's harsh. I'm just going to read you a little excerpt that came across in my reading. And there's many, this is just a small sampling, okay? There's many things. This is from Isaiah. It's not going to be on the screen. Let me just read it to you. Isaiah 13. "Wail, cry out, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every heart will melt with fear. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. I will make people scarcer than pure gold, and more rare than the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger. Whoever is captured will be thrust through. All who are caught will fall by the sword. Their infants will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be looted and their wives violated. That's the word of God. And that is just a sample showing the long-suffering patience of the Lord, but how there's built up a wrath and an anger and his fury over the sin and disobedience, idolatry of the people. And then it culminates Romans, continuing in Romans 3:10. As it is written, there was none righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, all have sinned, and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, every single person since Adam and Eve, has fallen far, far, far short of the glory of God. You know, God is almighty, holy God. He is awesome in power and glory and might. He is to be revered in the fear of the Lord and not taken lightly or taken advantage of. That's the bad news. That's good news, but the bad news is this that follows that. Sin has dire consequences. One day, when we go before the judgment seat, all our sin will be exposed. You know, I was thinking about this, and I remember back over 40 years. I remember I went to a youth conference. I remember the name of the speaker. This was over 40 years ago. I was in high school. I still remember his name. His name was Pastor Bill McKee. And he gave these messages. And I'll never forget some of the phrases he said. He said, speaking to these high schoolers, sin is fun for a while. Sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't want to do it. We wouldn't do it if it's not fun. He says, sin is fun for a while. But there's payday one day. And you are going to have to pay for your sin. He gave this example. He was walking in this thrift store, and he saw this barrel. And in this barrel was clothes. And he said the sign on the barrel said, slightly soiled, greatly reduced in price. All of us are soiled and made impure by sin. And because of that, greatly reduced in price. I remember that shook us, hearing his message. We wanted to get his message so we could listen to over, so we did. We got LPs. The messages was recorded on LPs. Some of you younger ones don't even know what's an LP. It's a record, big record. We would put it on the phonograph, and we would listen to his messages over and over and over again. There are consequences to sin, judgment, death, eternal separation from God, hell, Those are all real. Those are all very real. And those things are terrible and terrifying. And we will determine a person's eternal destiny. Hebrews 10:30-31, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Look at this verse. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is the harsh reality of the gospel. The bad news, so to speak, of the gospel. And I believe this statement, I thought of this statement here. The degree to which we acknowledge holy God and have a fear of him in light of our sin is the degree to which we will feel the urgency to be saved and welcome the good news of Jesus Christ. The degree that we actually, God graciously opens our eyes to who he is as a holy God. The degree that he opens our eyes, we realize it, we recognize how far we are, how impure, we recognize our sin, that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The degree that we realize that is the degree to which we will feel an urgency to make a decision. Feel an urgency, a desperation to be saved. How many people only hear the good news? God loves you. God sent his son Jesus to die for you. He loves you. He wants you as part of his family. All true. All true. But how many of those people have walked away thinking, that's cool. That's cool. God loves me. I'll be good. I'm not going to worry about afterlife. I'll be good. I'm not that bad of a person. God loves me. Without the bad news, they believe a lie. And that lie will cost people their eternal future. That's why we need to be bold. We need to have faith. We need to be filled with the Spirit to share and invite people, share with them the truth, and even include some of the bad news and invite them. People's lives are at stake. And hearing the bad news actually preps people in the proper way for the good news. Thank God, thank Jesus, that there's not just bad news, right? But there is good news. And Paul goes on to, from that point, he goes on to share the good news, the amazing news, the awesome news of the gospel. Romans 4:7-8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For as much anger, wrath, justice, judgment that the Lord has through Jesus Christ, you can have peace. You can have peace with your Creator, with Almighty God. You can have peace in your life. I believe everyone, until they make peace with God, will always feel a sense of anxiousness, anxiety, concern, worry, fear until you have peace with God. Because you were made for God. You were made by God. You were made to be part of His family. You were made to be in relationship with Him. And you will not know peace until you have received Jesus and put your faith and have made peace with God. Romans 5, 8 through 9. This is one of my favorite verses. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, you didn't have to clean yourself up. You didn't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You didn't have to do this or that or memorize this or that or do this or that ritual or give money to the church or whatever. While we were still sinners, while we were slightly soiled or filthy and greatly reduced in price, Christ died for us. Much more than that, having now been justified by His blood, look at this, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. We didn't have to do a thing. Didn't have to clean ourselves up first. Because of Jesus, it saves us from the very real wrath of God and judgment of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. If a person, an unbeliever, someone that's not received Jesus Christ, their destiny is death, eternal death. In the past I've heard, and I actually started adopting that. There's this idea that, well, we don't want to fear people into salvation, right? You don't want to scare people into salvation. I remember back in the day when they still had, in church, they had these movies, these films. You'd rent these films and you put it on a projector and you show it. They had this film called A Thief in the Night. And it was about the end times and of people going through persecution, right? And then you showed people, it didn't actually show up, but it shows a guillotine and people suffering. But then this whole thing about receiving Christ, right? Receiving Christ. And then, right? They're shown to youth and kids. And we're like scared. It's like, oh my gosh. I better receive Jesus, right? And people say, well, we don't want to fear them into receiving Christ. You know what? Recently, the Lord spoke to me, and I've been wrestling with it, and I go, yeah, you do. You know why? Because without Jesus, you should be afraid. You should be terrified. You should be quaking and trembling. Because you're going to have to go before an almighty, holy God by yourself. On your own merits, and you should be terrified of that. Anyone should be terrified of that. Because we will be subject alone to face the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the repayment for our sin. But for those who are in Jesus, and are covered and justified by the blood of Jesus, you shall be saved from the wrath of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Free gift. Free to anyone who believes. It's free. And then Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Zero condemnation. Zero punishment. Zero repayment for your sin. Zero judgment. The Bible says if you're in Christ, you've already been judged. And you know what the verdict is? Judge righteous because of Christ. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. part of his family, child of God. That verse in Romans 8, and we, the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa, our God, who graciously saved us. Then Romans 8, 38 through 39, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Total security. If you are in Christ, complete security. Nothing in this earth, nothing in the spiritual realm, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Secure. And that is the good news. That is the great news. In light of the terrifying news of sin, God's wrath, and judgment, this is unbelievable, amazing news. But only for those that are in Christ Jesus. Only those that are in Christ Jesus. As I said, we have family, we have relatives, we have friends, neighbors, co-workers, classmates that are not in Jesus. They should be terrified of judgment. You should be for them. Don't put off sharing. Don't put off inviting. Don't wait. Don't say no for them. Don't think, oh, I should invite so-and-so. Nah, they'll say no. Don't say no for them. Maybe just your invitation will start planting a seed. Easter is next week. The end of May, the last two Sundays of May, May 18th and 25th, we're going to have a Bring a Friend Sundays specifically designed for you to invite people. And the series is going to be kind of a follow-up to the awe of God. We're going to talk about heaven, what's heaven like, afterlife, things like that. So these are opportunities for us to reach out and invite people so that they could hear the good news. But next week, sensitively, but next week, I'm going to share some of the bad news too. I'm going to share the bad news because I believe it's the bad news that gives people a sense of urgency. Like, whoa. And the truth about what's going on, who God is, and what the gospel message is through Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I'm going to call up right now Pastor Ross. I love Pastor Ross. Pastor Ross, God has been moving in him over the last several years, incredibly. And it's so awesome because I feel like he's led him and placing him in who he is designed to be. And one of the things we're recognizing in him is he needs to be, in our church, our champion for outreach. Our champion for evangelism. I told him, you need to have a voice in our church to share about that. Because, you know, in church, it's just what happens, you know, we start beginning inward. And we start thinking of ourselves. And we start fellowshipping together. We need someone and we need people that will say, that's good. What about the people out there that are not in Jesus Christ, that are going to face judgment and the wrath of God alone, that need to be saved? And so I knew I was going to talk about this, and I said, Ross, can you just come up and just share a little bit? Just share a little bit your heart. So he's going to do that, and then we have a special guest that's going to share, because I believe this person, it's first fruits in our church at this new facility of seeing people come to Christ. So let's give a hand, Pastor Ross.
Love you too, bro. Thanks for walking me through this journey. You know, when I was a non-Christian, 1987, I received Jesus. I was scared. You know what you were talking about? I was like, where is my eternity? Where am I going to spend? And I don't want to go to hell. And so that's why I received Jesus, is because I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to be separate from God. And so I really believe this strategy, it works. It works. You know, when we think about evangelism, I think it conjures up a lot of pictures in our minds. You know, we think like, oh my gosh, when you say evangelism, am I going to be like on a street corner preaching? Are we going to go door to door to these neighborhoods and I'm going to have to knock on these doors and like share with them, you know, how are you doing? And, you know, where is Jesus in your life? And, you know, we have all these ideas. We think that, oh, I'm going to talk about Jesus with some people that I know, whether it be family and friends, and then our relationship is going to get all weird after that because, you know, I brought up something, you know, talk about religion, but I brought this up, and so are they going to be, like, looking at me funny after that and stuff? And I'm not going to lie to you. It really is scary. There is this aspect to evangelism that it is, to reaching out, that is scary. And I think a big part of it is because we're not in control. We don't know how the people are going to react when I talk to them about heaven and hell, when I talk about Jesus. And so there's this aspect of us going, okay, I'm not going to do it. Or it's got to be something super evident for me to step out and to share about Jesus. And, you know, even for me, as the one that Pastor Barry said, you are tasked with helping move the evangelism stone in our church, boulder at our church. At first, I was like, oh, my gosh. I don't even know if it's hard for me to do it. How am I going to encourage others to do it? But I just want to share real, real quickly just a couple things that has helped me over the past few months. The first thing is that God commands us to do it. He commands us to do it. And the second one is, if I want to please God, I need to exercise faith. So those two things have really, and there are other things too, but those two things have really helped me. The first one, commanded to go, commanded to evangelize, commanded to outreach. Jesus does that for us. You know, we know the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go, go, go. He tells me, he tells all of us, all those who consider Jesus their Savior, to go. He's commanding us. I found this one yesterday. I thought this was so cool. Acts 13, verse 47. Paul and Barnabas were out talking to Jews and Gentiles, and it says, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." Paul said that. We are commanded to go and to be a light. And as you guys know, we've been talking about, we want to be that city on a hill that shines in the darkness. And the city on a hill is not just city lights lighting up. It's the light of the world. Each and every single Christian lighting their light, taking the bowl off their head and saying, I want to represent Jesus to the world. I want people to know Jesus and to see how I represent him, to see my life and the good works that I do and give glory to God in heaven. That's what we're going after. And that's what God is commanding us to do. This is real sure. I don't want to go too much into it. But he commands us to go. The second one is exercising faith pleases God. And when I bring up spiritual conversations. I know that I can control the person. I know that I can't control their response. But I can step out in faith and go, you know what? God is with me right here. He has led me. He has called. He's commanded me to go. And so when I go, I know that I am not alone and that He will give me the words to speak out. I am exercising faith in God, trusting in Him. Even though I don't know all the circumstances, I know He does. I know He does. And because He's a good Father, He does not lead us into circumstances where He has not prepared us for or that He will redeem that situation. We are never without hope because He's there with us. He is a good, good Father, and we need to exercise faith in Him. Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So in faith, we need to trust God. And it's like when He highlights somebody, we say, okay, God, I'm going to follow You. You know, yesterday, a few weeks ago, Eliana and I were out in the front yard playing a catch. And I saw my neighbor come out, and she was talking to someone, and then she was unloading her car. So I said, hey, how's it going? And then I remembered that she broke her ankle, like, I don't know, 6 months ago or 4 months ago or something like that. And so I said, oh, so how's your ankle? So I'm still throwing with Eliana. And she said, oh, my gosh, I've been in so much pain. And I was like, oh, really? So then we stopped, and I went over to her, and I was like, oh, what's going on? She said, both Achilles tendons have micro tears in them. And she said that her doctor said, don't exercise much. She loves to go to the gym. She said, don't exercise. Don't walk too much. You have to wear special shoes because at any moment, any of those tendons could rupture. And she said, not only am I not able to do all these things, I can get a torn Achilles. And so I was like, oh, my gosh, can I pray for you? And she's like, yeah, please pray, please. So I prayed for her, and she said the pain had gone away. That was in her Achilles. And so that was a few weeks ago. So yesterday I was like, you know, I haven't talked to her since then. So, gosh, I should go over and, you know, and I felt like the Lord's highlighting her. But then I was like, well, I'm doing some stuff and everything. And I remembered what John Bevere said about obedience, right? And so I'm like, oh, okay, God's telling me to go. He's telling me to go. So, okay, what does John Bevere said? So I kind of tweaked it a little bit. So he said, in faith, so I added this, in faith, obey God immediately. In faith, obey God even when it doesn't make sense. In faith, obey God even when you don't see a personal benefit. In faith, obey God even if it is painful. And the last one, in faith, obey God to completion. So I remembered those sayings, and I was like, okay, well, especially the first one, obey God immediately. So I went to the kitchen, and I said, Ida, can you immediately bake a mochi cake that I can take over to her? And so she did. She goes, okay, I got some other stuff. But she made it. And then I took it over and I knocked on the door, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't really talk to this neighbor that much, but okay, it's okay. In faith, right? In faith, I'm gonna go. So knock on the door, and she answers the door, and I said, oh, hey, how's it going? And how's your ankles doing? She said, it's been so good. Oh my gosh, I think about you all the time. Every time I, you know, get up and there's no pain, I think about you. I'm so grateful. And I'm like, wow, that's so good. That is so good. And so I wanted to bring you some mochi cake and stuff. And but then she goes, yeah, oh, thank you so much, but my back is hurting. So I said, okay. She says she has the degenerative vertebrae in her back. So okay, let's pray for her. So I prayed for her. She said, oh my gosh, my back feels so much better. The pain has kind of gone away. So she's kind of looking at me like, what are you doing? You know, who are you? And I'm like, yeah, well, the Lord loves you, and he wants relationship with you and stuff. And so we're actually having a service on Easter. No duh. We're having, and so I would love for you to come and for you to hear the message. And she said, yeah, I think I will. And so I'm hoping, I'm praying that she'll be here this coming Sunday. But I just really feel like God is calling us. His activity, he is doing more and more stuff. We're seeing more and more things happening, people getting healed, people being open to the gospel. And so, I just pray and hope that our whole church, we step out and we invite those that the Lord highlights, especially the ones that the Lord highlights. So I want to invite Jake up. And like Barry was saying, he's like our first fruit of our church. He received Jesus in January. Yeah. And he's just been an awesome part of our church.
Hello.
Good to see you, man. He's going to start singing.
Oh, right? Yes.
So, Jake, what can you describe to us, share with us, like, what are some things that you were going through, but, you know, when we first met, which was about 6 months ago, can you kind of share a little bit about what you were going through and what your life was like?
Well, I guess maybe living by myself at my apartment. Recently, I got a dog, so now I have a little more company, but, you know, kind of spending a lot of time by yourself, trying to manage responsibilities, and, you know, I'm on the autism spectrum, so sometimes I deal with, you know, different types of physical and, you know, emotional, you know, types of distractions and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think just over time, I felt more drawn to finding community and really wanting to, I guess, have a firm control of my overall well-being, because when it's kind of up and down, you know, it's uncomfortable, and there's just a lot of information that I don't want to go too much into, but it just felt clear to me that, you know, I really want to kind of lock in and, you know, make sure that I'm more deliberate and intentional with, you know, how I feel each and every single day and, you know, the decisions I make and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah. So. It was really cool because when I first met him, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just in one of the, you know, I'm down the hall and I have my studio and stuff in there. And it was really cool because as we talked, I could sense that there's this hunger for the Lord with Jake. And I was like, oh, I need to get to know him a little bit better and stuff. And so, it's been just an awesome journey that you've been on and that we've had a chance to see. And he's been on the podcast as well. So if you want to catch him on the podcast, he's a famous TV star on there.
Yeah, I was on Love on the Spectrum season 2. So that's what he's talking about.
So like so in January, we met again. And then Josiah had asked you, what's holding you back? From so I heard that she had posed that question to him. So then I was like, oh, I need to follow up with that question. So we met in his mom's dance studio, and I shared some questions and then shared the gospel with him, and he received Jesus after church one Sunday. Yeah, you can clap. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, so I kind of just made a decision that I would, you know, come to church and read the Bible and really give it a full, you know, chance. And it's kind of interesting. Pastor Barry was talking a bit about, you know, how should you approach, you know, people and tell them about the gospel and stuff. And so every time I hear something coming to church, I reflect on it and I try to see, you know, in my actual life, you know, if there's evidence of that, you know, signs from God that kind of proves that that's true. And I think what drove me, because I've had experiences before where, you know, somebody would be very tense and come up to me and, you know, try to will me to come. And that's kind of tough. I think it takes a lot of just really kind of seeing what tools work with each individual person, because maybe some people need a wake-up call. But for me, I think just living through life experience where I've had moments of not, you know, trying to fit in, and that was a struggle, or just, you know, ups and downs of, you know, good days and bad days, that has kind of just led me to want to, you know, come to church, especially because I feel like there's a lot more people that are on a similar wavelength of values, you know, not like if I start talking to somebody about, oh, isn't this crazy? They want to, and it's interesting sometimes by talking to people, you realize how they're just not on the same page as you. And so that's one thing I like about, you know, a community like this. It seems like, you know, a lot of us are in agreement of, you know, what's right, what isn't, you know. So
yeah, it's so awesome. He lives close by. Jake does live close by, and he has his business here, so he's able to experience a lot of the ministries that happen here. And he also joined our small group on Fridays, and so he's been an integral part of that as well. So again, it's good to see his growth. So Jake, if there's one thing that you could share with our church family as far as encouraging us to reach out, is what would be that one thing that you have to share?
Well, I was thinking about how, so Ida, the other day when I was at one of the Bible study, or no, actually it was after lunch thing at Hoff's Hut, was mentioning about her interest in art, like this type of art, which I think you paint something and then you bring it to a random person. Just kind of feeling that inspiration that you're drawn to certain people that might need to hear a message. So you paint something like yellow balloons, and maybe you're at Target and you just have a feeling that this person, you know, and give this, say, you know, God wanted me to share this with you. And I think that that's interesting, to be really connected to, you know, God and follow that inspiration. And you know how they say, practice what you preach, that, you know, I think that there are certain times where we are really connected to God's wisdom, and that's what leads us to be inspired to do certain things. And I think that that's a great way to bring more people on board, you know. And as I said, the whole thing about letting people know about the bad news, you know, might be important. Like, say, for example, people tell you how important flossing is, right? And it's because, so you could have healthy teeth, right? And everybody's like, oh, okay, that's all right. And then, you know, but if they had the actual understanding of what could the potential, you know, dangers could be, or living a healthy lifestyle, that is also important. So maybe there's a certain percentage, like 80-20 rule or something like that, where, you know, obviously it is important to make it clear what the dangers are, but maybe lead, you know, more on the side of, you know, the good news. That's you know. So I don't know. I'm learning as I go, but I think that that's a good way to go about it, is make sure that you tune in with God and follow that inspiration, because some people might be resisting, and you know, maybe it might be good to just, you know, let them, continue to pray for them, but definitely try to be guided to all the people that are ready, you know. So and that's what brought me here, is that, you know, I felt like, you know, drawn, like I was ready. So
all right, thank you so much, Jake, for sharing.
I believe Jake is a first fruit of us being here in this facility, and it's of many to come. You know, the Lord says the harvest is ripe for harvest, but the workers are few. So I just want to challenge, encourage you. There's nothing more important than helping, coming alongside people, and being led of the Lord, being sensitive and loving, of course, but led of the Lord to help them to meet the Lord. Nothing more important than that. And so we're going to have the worship team coming up. And I'm just going to have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we confess, we admit, we acknowledge that all of us have sinned and fall short of your glory, of your standard, that we are impure people and not worthy and not even able to be in your presence because you are a holy God. But thanks be to you, God. Thanks be to you for all that you've done for us in Jesus Christ. That by putting our faith in him and committing ourselves and our lives to following you all the days of our lives, we are saved from your wrath and your judgment. We are saved from the consequences that we deserve for our sin. And now, Lord, we can just delight, relish, live in your love and grace as your beloved sons and daughters. Lord, you want that for every person to come into your family, to know you as a loving God. But it takes humbling ourselves and humbling themselves before you and recognizing who you are. And so, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you just come and touch and fill and stir? Would you release faith and boldness? Would you release your love from on high and stir your love and conviction, Lord, to lovingly and gently invite people to come or to bring up spiritual conversation or to share something of testimony of your own work in our lives. But Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would use our church and our people and our church family to see family, friends, relatives, neighbors saved, God. Saved. So thank you, Lord. Lord, we just want to come before you now to worship you, for you are worthy and deserving of our worship. We just want to come before you and worship you now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.